Welcome and good morning. Thanks for coming to this very first session of Genetics and Germplasm, bright and early this morning. We have a series of speakers this morning. It looks like a great program. And for those of you who are speakers, we have a pointer. We can also use the arrows on the screen. And please stay at the computer because we're being recorded for the recording sessions. I'll be presenting first, and I'll be speaking on the outcomes of an international workshop to developing training and educational programs for plant genetic resources management. This is in focus for the National Plant Germplasm System, and the National Plant Germplasm System is this vast array of plant materials that we have available through USDA. And the goal of this program is to acquire, maintain, conserve, evaluate, document, and distribute plant genetic resources to researchers worldwide. We're the largest distributor of plant genetic resources in the world. And about a third of the materials that we do distribute every year go internationally. So this is a truly international program in recognition of the fact that genetic resources are essential to U.S. agriculture and that they provide the raw materials to improve crops. This is a diagram of the National Plant Germplasm System. It's a distributive national gene bank, and it's spread out throughout the country. You can see that we have sites that are that encompass many different types of growing conditions, so we can do grow outs and keep this living collection of resources available and maintained and distributed. We have over 560,000 accessions representing 14,000 species of economically important plant species that are agronomic as well as horticultural and ornamental. I represent the National Laboratory for Genetic Resources Preservation today. It's where I'm located, and we're in Fort Collins, Colorado. This is my one token slide to talk about how our collection is also backed up. So we, in addition to having all these active field collections that are doing the regenerations, the distributions, the documentations, and the curations of these specific crops, we have these materials stored either at minus 18 or in liquid nitrogen conditions at our facility in Fort Collins. About 82% of those seed collections are backed up at the NLGRP, and of the 30,000 accessions that are clonal, we have about 14% of them that are backed up. So that's a challenge that we're all working on. We also have a large database. So this provides information about this global resource to anyone who'd like to find out more information. The website is shown down here at the bottom, but you can also find it pretty easily by just doing a search for USDA Grin Global. And you can find this resource of information out there on taxonomy, on the phenotypes, the genotypes, and the accession information that we have in the NPGS. So this National Plant Germplasm System is, as I've shown, up across about 20 different locations. We have 65 scientists. We have 200 to 250 total employees, most of which are federal, but we also have some very closely associated with universities. And we also have 42 crop germplasm committees, which are committees that serve to advise and work with the curation of these collections that are experts. And that takes about another 1,000 members. So it's this huge resource of information and of people that supports the NPGS and makes this system happen. We wrote a paper last year and published it in Crop Science called Sustaining the Future of Plant Breeding and the Critical Role of this National Plant Germplasm System in Doing So. And one of the recommendations from this report was making the NPGS even more relevant to plant breeding. Like, how can we improve it? Where can we go forward so that plant breeding can really benefit by this resource? And some of the conclusions were that we could optimize collections, we could have more material available, of course we want more phenotypic and genotypic information available, and we should be enhancing our collaborative activities. And one of those is that we need training and outreach, and we need more people learning about our system, more people providing information back into our system, and we need to train the next generation of scientists, and so that we have a hiring pool for people when we have positions available. And part of this is that it's estimated that 30% of the National Plant Germplasm staff members will be retiring in the next 5 years. And there's multiple people in this room that are retiring from the NPGS in the next 6 months. So this is a serious problem, and we're realizing that as the USDA goes forward to hiring into these positions, folks aren't necessarily trained in this. Universities definitely have an interest, but there may be three or four people per university that have an interest in plant genetic resources or genetic resources management, and that's not enough to have a program or to have the coursework that's required to move forward. There was a discussion in May 2017, last year, at the National Plant and Germplasm Coordinating Committee meeting that talked about all this, and they tried to come up with a solution, and apparently their solution was to have our national program leader call myself and Pat Byrne to write a grant proposal. So we were asked to write a grant proposal with 2 weeks' notice and to NIFA, and we to have a conference. And we brought people together this past April, and we had about 32 people from around the country that came in from plant breeding, from industry, from USDA, to try to brainstorm about what are we going to do about this lack of people moving forward for plant genetic resources management, and how can we train them, and how can we make this an effective program going forward, despite the fact that there's been many attempts at universities, and there's been a lot of failures because we just have not enough critical capacity at any one location to really move this forward within the U.S. So we had this planning conference, and the objectives of the conference were to host this conference, to identify options, logistics, curriculum topics for a plant genetic resources training management training effort, with the thought that maybe we need to go into distance learning. Maybe we need to come up with a program that folks can make access or have access to from multiple different universities. And we also wanted to design a strategy to develop, deliver, and sustain this program moving forward. So we hosted this planning conference April 24th to 26th in Fort Collins, and we had 33 attendees from representing government, land grants, our granting agencies, the seed industry, Mexico and Canada's gene banks because they've got the same problems we do, Botanic Garden, the Crop Trust. We reached out. And we had presentations about what we actually do in the NPGS, what is curation, what does management look like, what does the customer need, how can we fulfill those needs, how does this come forward from an international perspective, how could we serve a broader community, what's distance learning all about. University folks know about these things, but federal employees are not experts in this. So we had a lot of learning going on about business models and learning distance material, so that we could figure out how we, as government employees, could help start moving forward and teaching people about what we do and kind of helping bridge that gap. And then we had a couple breakout sessions. One of them was focused on gene bank and information management, and the other one was more about using that germplasm and associated information, because we really want to make sure that what the NPGS is doing is serving that community of users successfully. And so we came up with a proposed training program, and I'm here today to tell about this program that we're coming up with that we're in the very early stages of developing, but we're hoping it kind of ramps up rather quickly due to the fact that it's going to have to get implemented within the next year or two. So the goals of the program we decided were to build and sustain the human capacity to appreciate, maintain, and promote utilization of plant genetic resources, and we want to educate professionals in the principles and practices of genetic resources management, utilization, and conservation. Sounds pretty basic. What we came up with is that this is not going to be a one-size-fits-all deal, what we want to do is provide resource materials, and we also want to provide training. And USDA folks can maybe provide resources, but we're not very good at teaching. But if we give resources to folks who are teachers, then they can take that information and incorporate it into existing classes. We can put it into a new web-based program, an outreach distance learning program also. So what we have is a multi-component system that we came up with. One part of it is going to be developing resource libraries. We want to make this available perhaps through Grin Global, just because that's a database we have available to us rather easily. But we can also put this out on other platforms also. And I'm seeking input today if there's other platforms out there we should be considering. And what we want to put up on this resource library is free downloadable information. We want to build what we call learning objects. And these can be short 2 to 15 minute learning components that can be video, they can be PowerPoint, they can be audio, they can be the interview with the expert in pollination biology of a specific crop, or something that somebody at a university can go in and say, ooh, I need that for my plant breeding class, or I need that for my basic crop science class, or whatever I want that for. And if we provide this resource of data in a way that we would like to see it taught, or the demo of the video of how exactly, in my case, we do cryopreservation. And then that's a resource that we can provide based on materials that we have going on in our labs already. And we can have the experts doing it. And that's a resource we can save forever before those folks retire. And we're calling that the learning objects. And we'll also have downloadable documentation. Maybe we'll put the SOPs up there for the different repositories. We can put up information about gene banking in general. We can put about international folks. We can also have information about what training opportunities are already available. If you want to learn about broad-scale phenotyping, there can be a listing of the courses that are out there, so you don't have to browse the web and figure out what size fits for you. So we can have that information available at this resource library. Then there's currently a process going on where we're hoping to develop a distance learning program. It's being co-sponsored right now through a grant program at Colorado State and Iowa State Universities. And we're hoping it goes broader, but we had to start within a manageable size, where they can perhaps come up with a distance learning program of courses that can be taken from anyone, presumably through a land grant system of some sort, but it could be broader than that even. They're exploring the different options right now. And so you can tie in, hopefully get university credit for taking some of these classes that are specific to plant gene bank management. And those plant gene bank courses will likely make use of these learning objects that we're hoping to be posting up on this public website. And then we thought the third component of this program can be workshops. There's going to be certain subjects that's just best taught in person, on site, at a location for 5 days, for 3 days. We already have those kind of workshops available for Grin Global for our database, but there's many, many other subjects that we realized we should also be including stuff on this list. And those would be periodic workshops that we decide it's time to teach everybody about APHIS regulations. So you can come in for a 2-day workshop, and that information could get advertised through the resource libraries. So now I think I've kind of gone ahead and covered these slides ahead of time. But these resource libraries, as I said, are hosted by Grin Global or other websites. They're publicly available. And they'll have all kinds of great documentation for folks to review, to consider, and to even provide feedback on, as well as these learning objects. We've already started making some learning objects just as trials to see how it's best we can develop them, what kind of resolution do we need, what kind of quality, what's going to be our QAQC for posting these things. And we invite any folks who are here who do plant breeding or any use of plant germplasm, including germplasm management, to start doing some on your own. And to go ahead and submit those to me or to somebody else in the NPGS, and we can figure out a way that we can start building the materials that are already out there and making those available. So these learning objects are digitized, or any entity that are digital or non-digital that can be used for learning, education, or training. They're usually very short bits of content. It's not a full hour-long lecture. Instead, it's just the basics of what you're trying to cover in a single concept. They can be very self-contained. The idea is they're reusable, insertable. They can be combined with other learning objects as needed and connected together by the person who's coordinating the learning activity. And then they also are tagged with metadata so that you can search this database and you can find what you're looking for. Some of the things that are recommended for metadata that we'd have associated with them are a course identifier or a number for that subject. The subject area, descriptive keywords, what language it's in, what version it is, the type of content it is, whether there's any rights available or restrictions on it, and the time it takes to learn that particular concept. We also decided in this discussion group that, of course, if you're teaching a class, you would have testing and evaluation sides of things. And again, that's not perhaps where the strength of USDA is, but instead what we would be doing is providing this data, and then the person developing the course would actually do the evaluation side of things for those students who are interested. With respect to available training opportunities, I'll just put this up here to show the type of materials that we were able to find, and this is everything we were able to find, with respect to training opportunities that currently exist. So we've got two plant genetic resource conservation courses we were able to locate here in the U.S. that are still being taught. We saw lots of history of them, but there's only two that we could necessarily point our finger on saying, yes, they're actively being taught. There's a few places where you can do these big workshops for phenotyping, and they're listed here. And there's also some international programs, but we realize those international programs aren't necessarily meeting the needs of the U.S. programs. Many of these are very seed-based, and USDA has a huge colonially-based horticultural program. And from the seed universe of gene banking, it's important, but there's a whole component that we aren't capturing in many of these international gene banks, especially through their training programs. With respect to this distance learning program, it would be hosted through a university where it could be accredited, and there would be a cost recovery. So there would be a cost for doing this, which would make it a benefit to the university who's hosting it, which means you've got the added benefit of having an instructor and the facilitation that comes along with that. Or it could be through a continuing education program, again, at a university. But then you could also have credits involved. It could be either a semester or a quarter basis, but more likely it's going to be a very, very modular type program where we could have 3 1-credit classes and you can take the ones you really are interested in. And it could or could not be part of degree programs with charging of tuition. Again, these workshops cover a lot of different topics, but they'd only be provided periodically based on the folks who are interested and available to teach these things, but also based on a need out there that's been expressed. And this is, again, how it all fits together. And here's what's happening next. We are moving forward. This all just happened this past spring, so it's kind of in a developmental phase, and we're spending some time this year going out, reaching out, letting people know that this is a program we're developing. We're definitely looking for feedback on that, and we're starting to design those frameworks to make learning objects available through Grin Global or through other places. We're developing those criteria for the learning objects, such as the resolution and quality. We are hoping to reach out and get learning objects from folks at the NPGS sites, so if they can take out their cell phone and videotape an important harvesting event or pollination event or something going on, we would love to have practice runs going on and figuring out what really works. And then as resources permit, we're going to start developing learning objects perhaps more formally as well. We've already had a videographer at our site to start working on this. We also submitted a higher education challenge grant, planning grant this past year to, again, to formalize this a little bit more. The emphasis is really on that distance learning side of things through the universities and how that can all come together and what platform they're going to use to teach these courses and get the information out there. And then my contact information is at the bottom because I'm seeking feedback. So if anyone would like to email me or contact me about this, I'd be happy to hear from you. I'm not sure how we're doing with time, but hopefully that leaves a few minutes for questions and discussion. Oh, okay. You didn't wave your hand. Sorry. Thank you.